I'd like you all to meet my family. I have all of them here with me today. I understand we have all had quite a go of things recently. I think if we could get everyone to cough in unison this morning, we could have five-part harmony. But it's good to be here, especially after you've been through some rough seas over the last several days. I'm thankful for the edification that you give me as we gather together to worship God. We have an opportunity now to open up our Bibles and discuss the importance of God's Word and the impact that it has upon us. I appreciate your prayers that I received last week as I was down in Mississippi holding a meeting down there. I didn't start it on Sunday because I was sick. I started it on Monday. I got a kick out of SD's email. If you got it, it said that it had a weak start. I was glad he put physically. Thought maybe word had come up from down there. But anyway, we're all here now, and we have an opportunity to study God's Word. Have you ever heard someone talk about a sound church? Or have you heard someone say, well, that congregation is not really sound? What do we mean when we talk about a sound church or an unsound church? Well, the word sound, especially once you start looking at the Greek word, the word sound just simply means healthy. And when we talk about a healthy church, a sound church, we are talking about a church that is right with the Lord as far as we can tell in what it does, what it practices, and how it acts. And if a church is unsound, then we are making a judgment that it is unhealthy in the way that it acts, in what it does, and in its daily living. You and I could ask the question, do we have a right to make a judgment like that? Do we have a right to look at a church and say that church is an unsound church or that church is a sound church? Well, I want to draw your attention to the passage that was read just a few moments ago by Dan in Revelation chapter 2. The church at Ephesus. In fact, as you look at several of the churches that Christ addressed in Revelation chapter 2 through 3, you find Christ making judgments about these churches, and specifically to the one at Ephesus. We find that though this church sounded like it was a sound church, the judgment of Christ, as we find in verse 5, is that they were not sound. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, what's the threat of Christ in this verse? Well, if you look at chapter 1 and verse 20, when John first sees Christ, he sees Christ among lampstands, and we find in the latter part of verse 20, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So the lampstand here represents the church, and it is there with Christ, and Christ warns the church at Ephesus that if you don't straighten up, I'm going to remove your lampstand. Christ was making a judgment. Does that mean we make a judgment? Well, let me ask you this. Would you have wanted to be in the church at Ephesus? Would you have wanted to be a part of that church when Christ said, I'm going to remove your lampstand? And if you would not, and I trust all of us would say we would not want to have been a part of that church, how would you know if that church was sound or not? The fact of the matter is, brethren, you and I have an obligation to look at the church of which we are a part and see if it is a sound church, so that we would not be in the situation that those at Ephesus might find themselves in the first century. There were unsound churches in the first century. I suggest to you that there are unsound churches today. How do we know what a sound church is? I want to suggest three characteristics this morning of a sound church as we look through the Word of God and examine sound local churches. The first characteristic is that sound churches have sound teaching. The Apostle Paul oftentimes in his teaching used this word sound. And the word sound always goes back to the idea of healthy. If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, notice what Paul says to Timothy the evangelist. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, Paul writes, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. What's the instruction of the Apostle Paul here to this evangelist who was preaching to a local congregation? He tells them to hold fast the pattern of sound words. The sound words, again, are words that are healthy words. They are good words, faithful words. Where do these words come from? Paul said they came from me. As an apostle of Jesus Christ, we'll discuss this more in just a moment. So a sound church is a church that takes sound teaching and sound words and holds to those words. If you look in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 of 2 Timothy. Paul, in giving this charge to Timothy, said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Pay attention to verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. What was it that Paul told Timothy to preach? Be sure that you preach sound doctrine. Doctrine that is healthy. There is a such thing as unsound doctrine. Brethren, you and I need to understand this. In our ecumenical world today, where everyone says everyone is all right, you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe. If you don't want to believe that you have to worship on a regular basis, you don't have to. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was deity, that's all right. We'll all just get along with each other. There's a such thing as unsound doctrine. Paul characterizes unsound doctrine in two ways. First of all, we find in verse 3, it is according to their own desires. It fits what people want. It's a big, cushiony pillow that people just sort of grab and it fits around them and conforms to them and it makes them feel warm inside because it fits to what they want. And also Paul says in verse 4 that they turn away from truth. Unsound doctrine is doctrine that is not grounded in truth. What is truth? Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. What is truth? Truth is what has been revealed. What is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is the teaching of the word of God that has been revealed to us. And we begin to move away from sound doctrine when we begin to get into our own opinions, our own desires, and that's what we begin to believe, and that's what we begin to teach. Notice Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Verse 7, in all things show yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, what type of doctrine? Sound doctrine. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, Paul here is describing what sound doctrine is all about. Sound doctrine is doctrine that has integrity and truth behind it. It has reverence for God. And it is incorruptible. It cannot be moved. It is always sound doctrine. Look at verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing to say to you. What Paul is saying in the end is, when the doctrine is sound, people may argue with you, but they can't stand against the word of God. I had an opportunity a couple of months ago to talk to a person who is really beginning to wrap himself up into unsound doctrine. And he spoke for a long time about how he viewed things. But as we began to talk and I began to use scripture with him, he grew silent. Because he could not respond to scripture. That's what happens when sound doctrine is preached. Unsound doctrine must remain quiet. It may not like it. It may not care about it. But sound doctrine is doctrine that is carefully, reverentially thought out and applied. It is found in the person and in the church that seeks to say, what does God say? Where does God want me to stop? Because this is all about God. It is what Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, not to go beyond what is written. That's what sound doctrine is. And sound doctrine is balanced teaching. It is both positive and negative. It is motivational. It is instructive. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, as he was speaking to the elders of the church of Ephesus, said that he had preached the whole counsel of God. Look, sound doctrine is doctrine that examines all of the Word of God and seeks to teach all of the Word of God. Unsound doctrine is doctrine that is always motivational, but is not doctrinal. Unsound doctrine is doctrine that is always doctrinal, but never motivational. Sound doctrine is the balanced approach to the whole Word of God. It understands that sometimes the Word of God is very positive, brethren. Very positive. Very uplifting. But there are other times when the Word of God is very hard, isn't it? There are other times when it's not fun to study the Word of God, but it's necessary. There are times when the Word of God strikes you and you read it and you just want to respond in the way that God wants you to respond. And there are other times when the Word of God is not so much motivational, it is simply instructive, and you and I need to be quiet and listen and let God speak to us. Sound churches make certain that important doctrinal issues are always addressed, but also that Christian living is understood to be more than just a doctrinal understanding of baptism. That's necessary. It is important that we know why we believe that a child of God can fall from grace. Why we believe that it's important that we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. But look, brethren, that's not all there is to the gospel. The gospel is living. The gospel is changing our lives. The gospel is being changed to be in the image of Christ every day. So sound teaching is teaching that seeks to do both of those. Sound local churches are also churches that stay within the pattern. Notice, if you will, again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. What was it that Paul said? Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Sound local churches are churches that seek to listen to the pattern that is established by sound teaching. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We find that the early church had this attitude. Peter preached and people began coming to Christ. Notice verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because these are people who understood, look, now we found truth. What do we do now? Instruct us. And so the early apostles began to instruct people that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23 tell us of the importance that Christ has, the role He has over the church. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fits all in all. As the head of the church, it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that has the right to tell us the way things are supposed to be. And it was the apostles in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, who were the ambassadors of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, Paul speaks, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. An ambassador is someone who represents another. So here's the situation, brethren. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The apostles were the ambassadors of Christ. When the apostles spoke, they spoke as the ambassadors of Christ. And when they spoke, they told us what Christ wanted. They didn't speak on their own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the process of inspiration, speaking of the fact that what he said and what the apostles said, they said because that was what they were told by God. In verse 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. And as you look at the book of Galatians chapter 1, Paul is speaking to the Galatians about his right to teach. Said, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I have neither received it from man, nor was I taught that it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is the point. The point is, sound doctrine is revealed in the Word of God. Sound doctrine tells us that you and I are to follow Jesus Christ. The apostles were the ambassadors of Christ. They spoke for Christ. And when the apostles teach us something, that becomes a sound pattern that a sound church follows. And so, a sound church is one that remains within those teachings regarding the organization of the church. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, we find that Paul went about establishing elders in every church. These are men who meet certain qualifications. You've read in the past, I'm sure, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first several verses which deal with the qualifications of a man who serves as an elder. What's the pattern that a sound church holds to? The sound church holds to a pattern of establishing elders when there are men there who are qualified to serve. Men who, as we find in 2 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, had the leadership, 1 Peter chapter 5, had the leadership and the responsibility to guide that congregation. Notice verse 2. Peter writes to elders, verse 1, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. The fact of the matter is, the elders here at the Douglas Hills congregation have no authority whatsoever over the congregation over at Expressway. The elders here at the Douglas Hills congregation have no authority whatsoever over the church at Oldham Woods. Who do they have authority over? The congregation here at Douglas Hills. How do we know that? That's the pattern. That's what's been revealed. That's what the sound words lead us to understand. Deacons are also there in the local congregation. What we see, though, is there is no pope. There is no preacher serving as a pastor over the local congregation, one man alone. That's not the pattern that was established. There are not women who get up and preach. There are not women who get up and serve as elders. That's not the pattern. And a sound church recognizes. It's not because women are inferior. It's not because one man can't be smart enough to guide. It's that that's not the pattern that was established by sound doctrine. And a local church that is concerned about being a sound, healthy church is a church that seeks within its organization to remain within the teachings. Also, the apostles taught us about the mission of the church. And they established a pattern that a sound church is going to keenly be aware of. It taught that the church was to be busy with evangelism. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul is writing to this very beloved congregation. And he speaks to them and says, far from you, the word of the Lord is sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. What type of congregation were they? They were a sound congregation that was seeking to evangelize and teach. The apostles also taught us that a sound, healthy congregation builds up its members. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, the chapter that deals with worship. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Paul said, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. What is edification? Edification is building up. The mission of the church is not only go out into the world and bring people into the Lord's body, but when the people are there, to strengthen those people so that those people will grow and be vibrant members of the local body. What do we find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? We always look at the passage dealing with making sure that we assemble with the saints and it's there. But what's the purpose? Exhorting one another. Sound churches are churches that follow the pattern of the New Testament in the organization of the church, in the mission of the church, and in helping out needy saints. That's the reason why we find 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 say we give on the first day of the week. The collection for the saints, that's a pattern. Sound churches respect that. Sound churches also regard the teachings of the apostles regarding worship. Worship, listen, that seeks to honor God. We have fallen into such a dangerous pattern in the world around us, where worship is all about people. And churches tailor their worship services around the lost. And I understand, brethren, that you and I need to be people who are reaching out to the lost at all times. We must understand that the church and the assembly of the saints is primarily for the saints. And when we fall into the mindset that the world has of tailoring everything about the lost, is it any wonder then that worship services in the religious world today are entertainment? And everything is about the worship service is about what they want. You and I have to understand the sound pattern is that worship is about God. It's about pleasing Him. And so when we look at the Word of God, we find that the first century Christians engaged in the Lord's Supper, remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. Now, as you look in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and they spoke of this, Paul speaks of the fact that they went to Troas. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Why did they gather? To break bread. When? On the first day of the week. Notice verse 6. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them in Troas, where we stayed 5 days. Stayed 7 days. So they were in Troas for 7 days, but they met on the first day of the week to break bread. They didn't meet on Thursday. They didn't meet on Wednesday. They didn't meet on Friday. They didn't meet on Saturday. They could have. He was there. But they waited until the first day of the week and they broke bread with one another. That's the pattern. The religious world today is rushing to the idea of taking the Lord's Supper on Saturday night. There is no scripture for that. I had a relative one time who got married. And in their marriage, they took the Lord's Supper with one another. There's no pattern for that. Why did they do it? Because it sounded like a really good thing to do. The first action we're going to engage in as a married couple is we're going to take the Lord's Supper. I will tell you right now that marriage is in terrible shape because it was a show. It's not the pattern. And sound churches are churches that seek to worship God according to the pattern. We talked about music a few weeks ago. There is no pattern for an instrument of music. The pattern that we have is the pattern of singing. Now, let me caution you at this point to understand that sound healthy churches are more than simply sound healthy teaching and following a pattern. You can find a congregation that is teaching what is sound and true. You can find a congregation that is organized, it has its mission, and its worship is exactly what the New Testament says. But you will still find sometimes a congregation that is not healthy. Because the last point is, sound, healthy churches are living churches and active churches. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 for just a moment. Paul spoke of the seven, John wrote of the seven churches of Asia. Notice what he says about the church at Sardis in verses 1 through 6. Revelation 3, 1 through 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. Now if we stopped right there, we would all say that was a sound church. It seems in their actions, they looked like they were alive. It doesn't say that their teaching was not sound. It doesn't say that they weren't following a pattern. But Jesus said, but you are dead. So here's a church that may have looked very sound, but it wasn't sound. Nothing indicated there wasn't sound teaching. Nothing indicated they failed to follow the pattern. They perhaps had a very good reputation. But the problem was, the one who stood among the lampstands, the one who judged all men said, you are dead. I don't know what they didn't do. It may be that they just sort of felt like they had arrived. They had come to the point where they felt like, look, our meeting place is full. Everything's going well. We're supporting a lot of people, preaching the gospel. Everyone likes seeing one another. Maybe they had simply had the mindset that we're just going to sort of mind the fort, right? Christ said they were not sound. No zeal. No life. No energy. And examining again the church at Ephesus in verses 1 through 8, I would tell you that as you look over this, you would see a church that, again, all of us in the first few verses would say it was a sound church, right? Jesus said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. And we say, what a church! Boy, that's the type of church we need to be. But then Jesus follows it in the next verse. And he says, Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Nothing indicates their teaching was not sound. In fact, every indication was their teaching was sound. Nothing indicates that they weren't organized or following the pattern. Good, strong churches seem to be. But Jesus said, you've left your first love. What did that mean? I'm not really sure. Did it mean that they had stopped loving the Father, the Son, the way they were supposed to? Had they lost the love to serve? Had they forgotten what their purpose was all about? Were they supporting a lot of preachers, doing a lot of things, but they forgot that their worship, listen to me, brethren, their worship was supposed to be a personal worship. Their worship was supposed to be a real worship. Their worship was supposed to be an individual worship. And were it not for the words of Christ, I dare say everyone in that church would have thought, we are sound as we can be. And Christ threatened to remove their lampstand. Sound churches are living churches that are active and strong. That's what a sound church is. They have a love for God in their care for doctrine. They have a love for one another, and they have a love for the lost. That's the love that they have. They understand that sound teaching and the sound pattern has a purpose. And that purpose is to motivate us, listen, to do what's right. That's the reason why we stick to the sound words. That's the reason why we follow the pattern. So that we can be moved to the point where we will do what's right, because this is where real Christian living takes place. Not on a congregational level, but in the trenches. When we go out there day after day as grunts in the army of God, striving to live the way that we're supposed to live, it is personal. And the challenge that you and I face, beloved, the challenge that we face is to make our religion real to us. That's a sound church. With sound teaching taught and the pattern followed in religion, we begin to ask, what do I do now? And let me ask you the really big question. What about the church here at Douglas Hills? How sound are we? I pray the teaching is sound. Not only from the pulpit, but in the classes. And if you believe at any time that the preaching is not sound, you would do me a favor by telling me so. Talking to Brother Paul, talk to the elders. I believe with all my heart that the pattern is being followed, the pattern that we find in the New Testament. The question comes down, are we alive? How living and active is this church? And it's living and active as we may be, we can only be living and active when our members are living and active. Don't judge the soundness of a local church by how many men we help support. Don't judge the soundness of this congregation by the financial statement. Judge the soundness of this congregation in its activity, in its living, by yourself. Because it is only when we are all bound together that the strength of this congregation is truly told. Do you follow the example found in Matthew chapter 25? We look at this so often, brethren, but it is so crucial. Jesus, in the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, spoke of the things that he wanted his children to really be doing. In verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. That's the heart of it, brethren. It's got to be found in us. That's where the soundness of the church is. It is in individual Christians who examine themselves and they say, am I fulfilling what Jesus spoke of here? It is when the individual Christian looks at himself and he begins to ask, is my worship genuine? Is my worship genuine? Our prayers are wonderful here, brethren. Our singing sometimes needs a little more. What are we contributing? When that life is in your daily living and you are active, you will bring it here and you will infect your fellow Christians and the worship services will be alive and active and we as a church will do the things that we need to do. The preaching will move us. The teaching will move us. Not because the preacher is a great orator, but because the Word of God is being presented, and that's the thing that captures our attention. The Word of God. So it doesn't matter who the preacher is at the moment, as long as sound doctrine is being brought up. Do you have a genuine love for the lost within your heart? You say, well, as a church, do we have that? Don't ask yourself as a church. Ask yourself, do I have a genuine love? Because if you have a genuine love and you help me to have a genuine love, the church here will have a genuine love for the lost. You love your fellow Christian the way you should. What I'm getting at here, brethren, as we wrap up this lesson, is this is really the self-examining part of it. But you and I have to ask ourselves, how sound and active is this church? And in order to answer that, we have to look at who we are. Are we Christians that just sort of come and mind the fort? Come and do this because this is just what we do? Are we Christians who come here to worship our God? And that's what drives us. And when I see you worshiping with your whole heart, that just thrills me and inspires me. And I just want to kick it in a little bit more too. And hopefully we begin to feed off one another and strengthen one another. A dead church is not always manifested or fixed at the congregational level. It is manifested and fixed on the individual level. As I look at this congregation, I see that there are many, as we find in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, whose garments have not been defiled. And I will tell you that I am thankful for the examples that you set, for the efforts that you go through, and I draw strength and confidence from you. There are people here who really labor. But brethren, I'm not just interested in a few people having undefiled garments here. I want every child of God here to have garments that are undefiled, worthy in every way. That's what God wants. And that's what I want. And I pray that's what you want. Let's pray to God for just a moment. And I want you, as you consider the prayer that is prayed, to think about your activity within your life. And join me at the end of the prayer with an amen. Let's pray. Righteous God, Holy Father in heaven. You are awesome in every way. You are worthy to be praised. And you have given us the opportunity to be servants. And Father, most of us here have committed ourselves to you. And we pray that within our lives we will serve you the way that we can so that this congregation will always be a sound congregation. It is our prayer, dear Father, that sound teaching will always be preached here and lifted up. When unsound, unhealthy preaching is preached, that we will stand against it. We pray that we will always hold to the pattern that we find within your word. And dear Father, in a very reflective way, we pray that we will always be active. It is very easy in our world today to become distracted, as we spoke a few moments ago, around the table of your Son. It is very easy for us to sit back and look at other people and say, they're not active. But dear Father, let us judge ourselves according to your word. And may we be people who cut through the false veneer that we wrap around ourselves and just honestly lay our hearts open and see whether or not we are as active and as living as we need to be. Dear Father, help us to understand that you will give us the strength to be active. You will give us the strength to be living if we will only submit. Dear Father, I know that you want this congregation to be a sound one. And I pray that we are. But wait, may we never become comfortable. May we always look at how your word affects us within our private lives. May we be the people you want us to be. So that our lampstand will never be removed. So that it will only burn bright. And we may lead other people to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. What we see at the end of the day is that none of us would really want to be a part of that church in Ephesus, would we? We'd want to be a part of a good, sound church. Why would you want to be a part of an unsound church today? What do you need to look for? Sound teaching. A church that follows the pattern. And a church that is active and living. May God give us the strength and the grace to always strive to be a sound congregation of His people. And may He give us the grace that we need to one day find a home in heaven. And when that day comes, we will only be able to do what we have done so far in our lives, and that is continue to worship Him and fall before the great God who has loved us so and extended His grace and saved us. If you're not a Christian here this morning, it is my prayer that you will think about what God would have you to do within your life. The New Testament gives us ample examples of people who were not faithful, and yet they heard the Word of God, and they were touched by what they heard. And when they were touched, they understood that they were lost. And when they understood that they were lost, they turned to Him, the only one who could save them, and fix their broken, messed up lives. And when they did this time and time again in the New Testament, they came to Him believing, they repented of their sins and the life that they had lived, they confessed the name of Christ, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. That baptism was necessary because that has become a pattern for us. And if you're here this morning, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, and yet you understand that you need Christ within your life, why wait? Do what the people did on the day of Pentecost when thousands were baptized in one day. Come forward this morning. Your sins will be washed away and you'll be a child of God. If as a child of God you recognize that you stumble along the way, you fail to follow the pattern, you fail to be active, then I would encourage you, pray to your God this morning and ask for His forgiveness. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we stand ready to help you. Won't you come now, while we stand and while we sing.